and Jacob.
And so it was in this period where the 12 tribes settled after they conquered the land, and they divided up the land into the 12 tribes and the period of the judges. But up just up the coast from the land of Canaan are the cities of Tyre and Sidon, right there on the map. And as I said, you've got a little map there in your lesson book. And they're coastal cities. And as we'll see in our study, Tyre had two cities, or two parts of their city. They had the coastal city that was on the coast, and they had an island city that was just off the coast, about a half mile, I think, is what is said in the lesson, or I read somewhere this week as I was looking at that. And so Tyre was located just to the north of Israel on the coast. Tyre had a sister city, Sidon. Some believe that Sidon grew up first as a city, and even later under the kings, even though Tyre became the more prominent of the two cities, the more powerful of the two cities, some of the kings were referred to, their names would be given, then they would be called the king of the Sidonians, even though they were from Tyre, because that was considered that region, that area. And so Sidon still had a prominent place in their minds. It is estimated that Tyre, we don't exactly know when Tyre was established as a city, but Tyre was founded as early as the 3rd millennium B.C., somewhere around 3000 B.C., 2500 B.C., somewhere in that area. At least my sources didn't have an exact date. But we see a lot about Tyre in the Old Testament, and several references to Tyre in the Bible. Just off the top, besides our lesson this morning, or even including our lesson this morning, what are some of the mentions of Tyre in our lesson, and in your Bible history generally? How is Tyre? Why is Tyre known, Bonnie?
The prophecies against Tyre and its destruction.
Okay. We see a number of prophecies later. We're going to look at one or two of those, one in particular from Ezekiel, the destruction of Tyre that would happen. And then there's several passages in the Old Testament where, as we know from our study of the prophets, that the prophets would bring condemnation against different cities because of their idolatry, because of their wickedness, because of their sins against Israel. And Tyre is one of those cities that is mentioned several times in the prophets because of their wickedness. And so the prophecies about Tyre. Why else is Tyre known? Becky?
It always brings to mind that passage in the New Testament where Jesus said, if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago.
Okay. Jesus refers to Tyre, doesn't he? And so in that scathing rebuke of the Judean cities, the cities that had seen the mighty works of Jesus, he said, if Tyre and Sidon had seen the works that you see, they would have repented. He also uses two other wicked ancient cities. Who else does he refer to kind of in the same way?
Sodom
and Gomorrah. He says, if Sodom and Gomorrah had seen the things that you see... Was he complimenting Sodom and Gomorrah? Was he complimenting Tyre and Sidon? No, he wasn't complimenting them. He didn't say that. He wasn't saying that they're such righteous people. What was he saying?
They were wicked cities, and you're even worse than they are.
Yeah, the Jews recognized Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah as being wicked heathen cities who had indulged themselves in every way. Sodom and Gomorrah, of course, were known. Well, what were they known for? What is it, when you think of Sodom and Gomorrah, what do you think of?
Immorality,
sexual sin, sodomy, homosexuality in the city of Sodom, and the story of Lot there going back to Genesis. When we think of Tyre and Sidon, there was plenty of immorality there. But when we think of Tyre and Sidon, we think of very wealthy cities. Pardon me?
Greed.
The idolatry, in fact, what we see with Tyre, what Tyre was really famous for in history was there colonies? Was there trading? And so in our story today, we see when we touch on Tyre and David and Solomon, we see that Hiram had a good relationship with David and Solomon. And he provided them with cedars of Lebanon and building materials and workers to help with David's house and with the building of the temple, as we'll get to. But Tyre was known as a nation that colonized. And they didn't try to, in ancient times, typically, nations and kings would try to expand their power by doing what? Well, they would expand their power by conquering other people, conquering other cities, conquering other nations. Assyria would start from their base and move out and move out and move out, and they would conquer and force people into subjection. Tyre built a great empire, but they didn't do it by conquering people. They did it by building colonies. And so the Phoenicians, Tyre and Sidon, the Phoenicians, started sending out and making colonies very early in their history. Has anyone ever heard of Carthage? If you stretch the memory back to your ancient history, later Carthage would have a great series of wars against what other power of their time?
Rome.
And it was called the Punic Wars. The Punic Wars. There were three great Punic Wars. They happened as Rome was growing in the intertestamental period. They would happen later. But Carthage was established by not just Carthage, but the Phoenicians established colonies in Spain. If you just Google and look at Carthage, and look at the Carthaginian Empire in the 300s, the 400s and 300s BC, they had spread their colonies and spread their power to Spain and to Morocco and to Algeria and to Tunisia and Libya and Sicily and Malta and Cyprus. And if you think about those places, what you have is from Cyprus, Malta was off of even further along underneath Italy over here. But those places, basically, if you look at a map of the Mediterranean, and I wonder if there's a better map back here. I think there is, if I can just find it. But if you think of a map of the Mediterranean world, here we go, of the later Mediterranean world, Carthage was way over here in northern Africa. They weren't that far from Rome in this direction. This map even didn't go far enough. But the power of Carthage and those Phoenicians, remember, they all came from here and they began to spread this way. But you can just see a line along northern Africa that they controlled. Just the northern part of Africa, all along here, all the way to Spain, a number of the islands in the Mediterranean, all the way this way to Cyprus. And so Carthage had a huge power that, again, originally come from Tyre and Sidon, come from the Phoenicians. And so this people had these three great wars with Rome, and had it turned out differently, we probably would have a whole different world today. It was like World War II. It was a huge series of battles over a number of years to control the Mediterranean world. And Rome won, and Rome controlled the world, and that's why Latin is such an important thing, and Roman history is such an important thing to our culture and our civilization for the impact that that made. But think about how it might have been different had the Carthaginians won. Becky?
Weren't the Phoenicians also known as great shipbuilders?
Yes.
How they could sail to all these different places?
Yes. And so trade and shipbuilding and trade is how they made their empire. They made their empire by trading and making people rich. You know, everyone likes friends who will trade with them. And so in this story, as we see with David and Solomon, they traded. They worked together to build down here, getting ahead of myself again a little bit, but down here off of the Persian Gulf, here was, what's the name of the city? What's the name? My mind's going blank. It was in the lesson where Solomon built the port and with the help of Hiram established this trading route in the port that was down here. It's in the lesson somewhere. I forget. He's on Geber. Yeah. Very good. Okay. So that's the Tyrians. That's the Sidonians. That's the Phoenician people and the impact that they had on the ancient world. Looking at Hiram in particular, Hiram ruled, the lesson gives us some dates, I think, somewhere in there, of the dates of Hiram when he was ruling. What does the lesson book say? 980 to 947. He reigned for 34 years, approximately. He was 19 years of age when he came to the throne. His father was king. He became king. His son was king after him. Harper's Bible Dictionary says, under Hiram's rule, Tyre became the leading city of Phoenicia, which launched a colonial empire that spread over the whole of the Mediterranean. He enlarged the island city of Tyre by uniting it with a smaller island and overtook and undertook extensive building programs. And so the city was great for many generations, but history tells us that this man in particular that's in our lesson, this Hiram of Tyre, outdid his father before him. And as was mentioned, with the building of ships and the use of navy, the use of seagoing vessels and trading vessels around the world, Tyre was known as a rich, rich populous city, and it was that influence and that wealth and that trading and that ability to get in ships in ancient times and travel long distances and trade all over the world that brought great wealth to Hiram and to Tyre and to Solomon and to others that were involved in that. And so Hiram lived at the time of David, between the time of David and the time of Solomon, and impacting both of those. Let's just look at a couple of verses to emphasize that and to show you that we're not making this up. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 5, a couple of passages from the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 5. This again is at the time of David. And Hiram later gives cedar trees, cedars of Lebanon, under his control. He gives cedars of Lebanon to Solomon to build the temple, help in the building of the temple. Why didn't he help David build the temple? David wasn't allowed to build the temple, as you know. And so he did help David to build something. What did he help David to build? His house, okay? Let someone read for us chapter 5 here. Let's read the first five verses. Let's start with the first five verses. Who would like to read? Mary, would you like to read chapter 5, verses 1 through 5?
Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy fish, and thy flesh, sorry. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, he was ledest out and broughtest into Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over all Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah.
Okay, so how many years total did David reign?
40.
How many years did he reign in Hebron?
7 years.
7 years, and then the remaining 33, approximately, he was in
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, that's right, in Jerusalem. And God had made him king in the place of Saul, and now he comes to power. Now let's read verses 6 through 12. 6 through 12. Who would like to read for us? Casey, would you read for me?
And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to David, saying, "You shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you," thinking, "David cannot come in here." Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. Now David said on that day, "Whoever climbs up by way of the water shaft and defeats the Jebusites, the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Therefore they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house." Then David dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the Milo and inward. So David went on and became great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him.
Okay, and so the Jebusites didn't think that he could take Jerusalem, even mocking him, saying the blind and the lame can keep you out, because they had a fortified city. But of course they conquered the city, they took the city, and David built it and made it great. Now verses 11 and 12, did you read 11 and 12? Okay, go ahead and read 11 and 12.
Then Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel.
Okay. And so David gets stronger and stronger. God will not allow him to build a house. In Chronicles it tells us, because he was a man of blood and a man of war, God would not let David build the house of Jehovah in Jerusalem. But David establishes the kingdom and makes it strong, and he lays the foundation. We would call this the golden years. The golden years of the nation of Israel was at this time. Israel was never at this height again during the time of David and Solomon, as far as power, as far as control, as far as wealth. It starts to go down with Solomon, of course, because he started out good, but he went downhill. Because of him allowing his wives and the false gods to come into the land. But this is the golden age. This is the golden age. This is the reason that all through the years, when the prophets talked about David coming and ruling and being Messiah, and the Messiah from the family of David, that's why Israel was chomping at the bit to have him, have a David come back. I mean, this was the time, and power and glory and prestige and honor in Israel. And so Hiram comes and helps him to build a house, and they form this alliance, and so we see that will continue. And so David dies. We move on to the building of the temple. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 5. Now 1 Kings chapter 5. We were in 2 Samuel 5, and now to 1 Kings 5. And once again, we want to read the first 12 verses. I think verses 1 through 12 again. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And the first 6 verses. Lana, would you be willing to read verses 1 through 6 for me? And then Becky, 7 through 12.
And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon had sent to Hiram, saying, "Thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will see up Upon thy throne in thy room he shall build a house unto my name.
One more.
Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee I will give hire for thy servants, according to all that hath shall appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to do a timber like unto the Sidonians.
Okay.
As soon as Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, Blessed be the Lord this day, who has given to David a wise son to be over this great people. And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have heard the message that you have sent to me. I am ready to do all that you desire in the matter of cedar and cypress timber. My servant shall bring it down to the sea from Lebanon, and I will make it into rafts to go by sea to the place you direct. And I will have them broken up there, and you shall receive it, and you shall meet my wishes by providing food for my household. So Hiram supplied Solomon with all the timber of cedar and cypress that he desired, while Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household and 20,000 cores of beaten oil. Solomon gave this to Hiram year by year, and the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty.
Okay. So what did we just learn? What's in these verses? Bonnie?
Well, Solomon decided it was time to build the temple to the Lord, and he contacted Hiram. Well, maybe Hiram contacted him. I'm not really sure there. But anyhow, Hiram agreed to give him all the wood that he needed and basically float it down the Mediterranean to the port that David had built, and they'd break it up there and then carry it where they needed.
Yeah.
Plus, he was going to send his carpenters and such to help.
Now, David and Solomon undoubtedly learned a lot about shipping, about ships, about trade from their interaction with Hiram. The ancients did amazing things. When you go back and you think about what some of the things that the ancients did, on our trip in the museums in London and Paris both, you see just amazing things that remind you of all that they achieved in ancient times. I forget what you call them, friezes or something. Anyway, the palaces in Assyria were just lined with, they would have their artists depict certain events that happened and cut them into rocks, and those have been brought to museums, and you can see in one of the scenes that you see from the palaces in Nineveh and Nimrod, the Assyrians floating logs down a river to a place of construction. Well, that's what they're doing here. They were able, here's these huge trees that are cut down, these huge rocks, I mean logs, and they're taken to the sea or they're taken to a river and they're put on rafts and they're floated. And we see things like that today, but the ancients were doing those same things, and that's just the hem of the garment of what we see, the things that they built, going all the way back to the pyramids, of course, and the hanging towers, hanging gardens in Babylon, and on and on and on and on. And you see these depictions still in history of the things that they were no dummies. They had great skills. And so here they're cutting down these huge trees in the mountains. They're taking them and they're taking them down the mountain, getting them to the sea, putting them on boats. They didn't have any power equipment, but they're putting them on boats and floating them down to Israel. Then Israel's bringing them in and cutting them up and using them in the temple, in David's house and in the temple. It really is amazing when you stop to think about it. They're just passed over here in a few verses, of course. But here, Hiram, shipping these logs and these cedar trees down for use in the house of the Lord. As someone said, he also sent a skilled worker. Look over at 1 Kings chapter 7. 1 Kings chapter 7, just a couple chapters over. I think it's 13 through 15 what I wanted. And here's a detail. We won't read all of it. We'll just read three verses here, 13, 14, and 15. Pat, would you like to read those for us?
King Solomon sent to Tyre and brought Huram, whose mother was a widow from the tribe of Naphtali.
Naphtali, yep.
Naphtali, and whose father was a man of Tyre and a craftsman in bronze. Huram was highly skilled and experienced in all kinds of bronze work. He came to King Solomon and did all the work assigned to him.
One more.
He cast two bronze pillars, each 18 cubits high and 12 cubits around by line.
Okay, and he goes on. He goes on to talk about, the passage here tells, they're talking about the building of the temple. So who is this guy? It's the same name, as coincidence would have it. I don't know, maybe he took the king's name. I don't know how he got the same name as the king. But it's Hiram. And depending on the translation, sometimes they're spelled a little differently. But I'm told it's the same name. Here's Hiram the king, but here is a Hiram. So in verse 13 it says, he sent and he fetched Hiram out of Tyre. This is not the king that's coming to do this work. It is a craftsman, and they said his mother was from where?
Naphtali.
Where's Naphtali?
North Israel.
Yeah, she's Israel. She's a Jew. His mother's a Jew. And his father is? From Tyre. He's Sidonian. He's Phoenician. And so he's half Jewish. And he had become a skilled craftsman under Hiram. And so who better? One, he's a skilled craftsman, but also he's half Jewish. And he is sent down to help to craft these articles. And it goes into some detail here of the things that he helped with for the temple. Okay, the building, a great craftsman is craftsmen have great skills, don't they? Again, I hate to keep referring to our trip, but we see all kinds of things that were made. Great skill. One place we went on our trip, we saw a glass blower. Have you ever stopped and watched a glass blower work? Many of you have. Not a job I would want. It's hot in that room. And he starts with this molten glass and starts to spin it and punch on it and play with it. And in about 10 minutes, he's got a beautiful goblet. You know, how do they do that? I don't know. I mean, I sit there and watched them, but I don't know. But it's a craft. It's skill. It's many years of experience and training. And so here this man comes that is skilled in brasswork and in bronze, and he either himself personally makes, or maybe is the foreman over others to make and to produce these things. But for the house of, again, a connection here between the king of Tyre sending logs, sending craftsmen because of his friendship with David and his friendship with Solomon to build these things for the temple, for the house of the Lord. Well, to say thank you to him, Solomon gave him a gift. What did Solomon give him? He gave him 20 towns. Wasn't that a nice gift? He gave, so if someone gave you 20 towns, you would think it was a nice gift. I'll take one town. Just give me one town. Well, sometimes a gift is not so much of a gift. I've wondered about this passage. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it was all as bad as Hiram thought it was, or if it was just that. I'm not sure. But Hiram didn't seem to appreciate it, did he? What did he say about this? What did he call him? Yeah, Kabul, good for nothing. And so he didn't seem to appreciate the gift.
Wilson?
Yes?
I don't think it wasn't in this, but somewhere in the past I've read that those 20 towns that were given were like on the border of Israel.
Yeah.
So basically what he was doing is using Tyre or Phoenicia to protect the northern border. And yeah. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, he may have had Solomon may have a political motive involved there. Also, it was suggested that they were too far, and they were too far from resources to be really very much good to him, is one thing I read, that they were, it's like someone giving you something out in the middle of nowhere, and okay, that's nice, but what good is it to me? What profit, what benefit of it is to me? And so he didn't, and I don't know that that was it, but he didn't appreciate the gift. Brother Colley has a section there about Hiram and Masonic tradition, which is just kind of interesting, although there's no connection with fact in any of that, like a lot of things, but it is kind of an interesting connection. Well, let's spend the last few minutes talking about the destruction of Tyre. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 26. Now, again, we said that long history here, long history. City established 3,000, 2,500 B.C. There's a city there. They become skilled in shipping, in making boats on the seas. Not everyone had those skills. They began to trade. They began to expand their empire. They did not expand their empire by conquering people as others did, but by sending out colonies, those colonies becoming great, and then working together to conquer other things. And so here they were the beginning of a great empire, a Mediterranean world empire. And that empire continued to grow all the way up to the first century, when almost to the first century, to about 300 or 200. It was in the 200s B.C. that Carthage got defeated by Rome finally in the Third Punic War. And Rome came and filled all their fields with salts to destroy the city completely. So that it would never rise again. So it lasted a long time. The influence of the Phoenicians in the Mediterranean world lasted a long time. But they had built up this navy. They had built up this empire. And Tyre was a rich city, rich, had great wealth. And from trading, good old capitalistic system. And everybody got rich, and they traded with the world. And they were powerful in that sense, but they were wicked. They were wicked. And idolaters. In fact, we didn't mention, there's another connection between Tyre and a Bible story, just by way of connection later. One of the kings married a woman from Tyre. Who was that?
Jezebel.
That wonderful, sweet lady Jezebel. Ahab's wonderful, sweet little demure wife. One of the most wicked women in all of the Bible, of course. The time of Elijah. Tried to kill Elijah. Worshipper of Baal. What was her father's name? In fact, her father was named for Baal. Baal, right? And so he was king of Tyre, and his daughter married Ahab of Israel and goes down in history. Jezebel. Jezebel, a name that is parallel in our minds with wickedness. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, when the Lord Jesus is talking about a wicked influence among one of the churches, what does he call the woman that's at the center of that sinfulness? Jezebel. You have a Jezebel among you. He wasn't complimenting her. And so there's Jezebel. Well, she was from Tyre. They were worshippers of Baal. They were worshippers of false gods and just filled with wickedness. And God promised to take Tyre down. And so Tyre would be destroyed. What did I say? Ezekiel 26. Read 1 through, I'm not there, about verse 14. Who would like to read for us? Bonnie, 1 through 14.
In the 11th year, in the first month, Yahweh's word came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has set against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken. She who was the gateway of the people has been returned to me. I will be replenished now that she is laid waste. Therefore the Lord Yahweh says, Behold, I am against you, Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you, as the sea causes its waves to come up. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her a bare rock. She will be a place for spreading of nets in the middle of the sea, for I have spoken it, says the Lord Yahweh. She will become plunder for the nations. Her daughters who are in the field will be slain with the sword. Then they will know that I am Yahweh. For the Lord Yahweh says, behold, I will bring on Tyre Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings from the north, with horses, with chariots, with horsemen, and with an army of many people. He will kill your daughters in the field with the sword. He will make forts against you, cast up a mound against you, and raise the buckler against you. He will set his battering engines against your wall, and with his axes he will break down your towers. By reason of the abundance of his forces, their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen, of the wagons, and of the chariots, when he enters into your gates, as men enter into a city which is broken open. He will tread down all your streets with the hoofs of his horses. He will kill your people with the sword. The pillars of your strength will go down to the ground. They will make a plunder of your riches and make a prey of your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, your dust in the middle of the waters.
Okay. Well, that was the first bell, so we're short on time. But basically, here is Ezekiel's prophecy against Tyre. And as we look at this prophecy, there are three or four important points that we see fulfilled later. Of course, again, because of their wickedness, God would destroy them. He says in verse 3 and 4 that nations, many nations, would come up against her. In verses 4 and 5, he says that it would become a place for the spreading of nets. In verses 7 and following, that Nebuchadnezzar, he specifically mentions that Nebuchadnezzar would be the one to destroy her and spoil her. He said her ruins would be dumped into the sea, verse 12. Verse 14, he says it would become desolate and never built again. We know in the fulfillment of this prophecy that there were two different parts of the fulfillment of it. Nebuchadnezzar was specifically mentioned. And around 585, 580, 575, in that period of time, Nebuchadnezzar had a 13-year siege against the nation. And so the city of Tyre was really had two parts. There was the Tyre, I'll put a T here, there was the Tyre on the coast, on the land, and then there was the island over here that was about, as we said earlier, about a half mile off of the coast. And this green here that I'm picturing right now, there was not a causeway at first, but there was a shallow area. Some say the shallow area was as shallow as 10 feet in certain places along here. And so, but still, there was water between. Well, In the 580s, Nebuchadnezzar came, and of course the Tyre had great walls around it, and for a 13-year siege, and finally the city on the coast fell to Nebuchadnezzar. But the island city remained, and it remained for 200 years until the time of Alexander the Great. And so in the 330s, Alexander came. Well, Alexander was trying to shore up the whole coastline. He was after the Persians, which were off to the east, but the Persians had a navy, and he knew he had to control the coast. He had to cut off the Persian navy from being able to resupply their people on the land. He knew he had to take Tyre. And so Alexander the Great came, and he started trying to take Tyre. He even got help from other nations. That's where the prophecy about the nations comes in. There were plural nations that helped him. He did not have a great navy himself. So he had this problem. Tyre had this navy, all these ships around protecting her island. And so what he started doing was, where this shallow area was, from the coast out, he started building a causeway. And he started building the causeway, and he got about halfway to three-quarters of the way done, and they started attacking from the city so badly that he couldn't finish the causeway. And so he knew that he had to do something to stop the attacks, and he needed ships. And so he called on other nations, and Cyprus and other nations came to help him because they saw he was going to eventually win and they wanted to get on his good side. And so the nations came, and there were sea battles. I'm shortening all this. There were sea battles all around this, and so he did well enough in the sea battles to make it to where they could continue constructing, and finally they got the causeway finished all the way to the island. But interestingly enough, there's two harbors, one on the north side and one on the south side of the city. And interestingly enough, all this battle, the breach was not made here. The breach was made on the southern side of the island. And that's where the Greeks got in and broke through the walls, and then that was, as my daddy used to say, it was all she wrote. It was all over then. So they conquered the city. So as God had said, all of these things came about just as Ezekiel said. Nations took place. It became a spreading of nets. It was never rebuilt. All those things have happened, just like Nebuchadnezzar said.
It said the ruins would be thrown into the sea, and that's what Alexander yes. used to build.
Yes. Good point. I forgot to include that. What Alexander used to build the causeway was the ruins from 200 years earlier when Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed the city on the land. He took the ruins and he tossed them into the sea, thus fulfilling the prophecy of the city being tossed into the sea. Okay, good. Thank you.